Thank you. Thank you to the music team for leading us in worship this morning. Good morning, everybody. So lovely to once again begin a new week with you all worshiping our Lord and Savior together. It's a special occasion today as we get not only to testify, but we get to visibly see the great faithfulness of our God to His church. It's a special occasion as we induct into the pastoral ministry here, Pastor Kurt Marden, and it's a special occasion as we rejoice in the Lord for His faithful providence that has brought about such an occasion. God has really been, once again, faithful to us and good to us as a church. We believe that the calling to pastoral ministry and the calling to serve in a particular church as a pastor is both of God and of the church. The church faithfully seeks to discover God's will for their community of faith in terms of the pastor, the shepherd, that He would want them to have. And then also the God-given inner conviction, which is a confirmation to the church of that person who has been called, that God has placed a calling on his life to come amongst us and to serve in a pastoral capacity. And so this morning, I'd like to just begin this induction service by sharing just a brief testimony of how the Lord has led us as a church to call Pastor Kurt to come and be one of our pastors here. If you recall with me, just before Pastor Craig, Lyndon left us last year, July. We as a church chose a few members who would form a committee, a call committee, who would deliberate under the leadership of the Lordship of Christ to determine and identify the man that God would have to come and join us as a shepherd here at HCC. This committee spent the better part of a year and a half praying and waiting on God, discussing certain aspects of what would be a best fit for us here in terms of a shepherd, a pastor. We debated amongst ourselves what God's leading in our lives was. And then we sought God's desired will for us with regards to someone to come and shepherd us and pastor us here alongside of myself. We had a list of names. I want to say an endless list of names, but it wasn't quite like that. But we did have a couple of names. But right from the beginning, God in His grace just brought our attention to Kurt. And God helped us to see that right in the beginning that our next pastor would be Pastor Kurt. We sought to find a pastor in the beginning with a heart for the Lord and for His people. A pastor who had pastoral experience behind him. Someone who had served the Lord in the church, who could easily come into our midst and pick up where they left off in their last church. We sought a pastor who could minister to both the young and the old in our congregation. A pastor who is committed unwaveringly to the authoritative, inerrant, infallible, and Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. And the longer we met as a committee, the longer we discussed Kurt and his possible coming amongst us, the more the Lord gave us a clear indication that Kurt was the next man to join our oversight team here at the Howie Community Church. And so after calling Kurt and Kath to come and meet with the call committee, God in His goodness meshed our hearts together as a committee in that meeting, just knowing without a doubt that this was God's man for us. And as we brought His name to the church, you as a church unanimously decided that under the Lordship of Christ, God was leading us to call Kurt to join us here. It was a few weeks later that we had the privilege of inviting Kurt and his family to come and join us here at HCC and for Kurt to come and be part of our pastoral team. We're also so thrilled that not only God meshed our hearts together in terms of Kurt for us as a church, but God also meshed Kurt's heart with us as a church. And God called him and led him to come and accept that invitation to join us here. And so I'm going to ask Kurt now to come and just to share with us how God was leading him while he was leading us to match us together and to mesh us together in this relationship. And so, thanks, Kurt.
Did say that I only had 5 minutes, and you apologized at the earlier service, and that it was your fault, but it was actually me. So, but I'll make sure I'll try and stick to my 5 minutes. And how do I condense the Lord's just moving in us over this last year into 5 minutes? It's a difficult thing to do. So I've just really focused on four scriptures that the Lord brought at least to myself during this time, and it came at very pinnacle times as the Lord was in this process of calling us to come in to be a part of you. And the thing is, I had already two other churches were very interested in calling us and having us come and join them down in Queensborough and as well as St. Olaf's. And the thing is, though, as I didn't feel the call to it, and speaking with other men around myself and just bouncing thoughts, but then also just pursuing the Lord and just wondering if I was being coerced or whether the Lord was actually calling. And so I wanted the Lord to be the one to make that very clear to myself and to my family, because I don't do things in and of myself or alone. And we're a wonderful team. So I do thank the Lord for the wife that she has given to me. And so I wanted the Lord to be the one that clearly led us and that he would bring us back here. I don't know if you are aware, but Kath and I were here back from 2003 up until around about 2008. And one of the really challenging and convicting passages was Exodus 33 and verse 15. And it's Moses interacting with the Lord. And he says, "And he," Moses, "said to him," God says, "if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." And it was very challenging for me to seek the Lord's leading and guiding. I didn't want to do things out of my own fleshly desires, maybe because I was being uncomfortable there, or maybe because I was too comfortable there. I wanted to make decisions that honored and glorified the Lord, and I wanted him to make it very clear that he was leading and guiding us. And this was one of those passages that really stuck out for me and started to give me that peace that I needed. But then also one of the challenges is what about the church that I am at? You know, Lord, we've been here for 9+ years now and developed relationships and friendships, and we've been feeding into people's lives. And so you don't want to just abandon people. But then again, the Lord through his word, Matthew 9:37-38, "And then Jesus said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest.'" And once again, just the peace of the Lord settling on my heart and my mind. And part of my thinking is that that box got a whole lot of people to try and shepherd and look after, let alone the wonderful team that the Lord has already placed. And I thought it would be wonderful to come and join. But then what about our folk back that side? But he's the Lord of the harvest. It is his church. It is his bride. And he will provide. And so if the Lord took us from there and brought us here, well, then the Lord in his faithfulness to bring in here, well, then the Lord would be faithful in providing somebody else on that side. And the Lord is faithful, and he will do that. And so for us, it was a very painful thing to be leaving. but then also a very exciting one with the prospects of joining you and to become a part of this family again. And so there is a lot of pain and there's also a lot of excitement. And the other morning I woke up and I was just feeling overwhelmed and also just this whole daunting realization of coming and being along with you and also just being so many of you. And so I guess the Lord gave me the peace, and the only analogy that can come to my mind was, imagine you've had your kids, they're 12, 13 years old now, and then you find out that your wife is pregnant, and it's like, oh no, we've got to start this all over again. But there's beauty in all of that, isn't there? Because you know that your kids are old enough and they can run along and they don't necessarily need your care anymore. And so there's a lot of that piece where the Lord has raised up men that side and who are running with stuff. And so there is that peace. But then also with a newborn, the reality is that, not that you're newborns, but now I get to know you. You get to know us. We get to know you. We get to pour our love into your lives, and you get to pour your love into our lives. You get to know us. We get to know you. And so that's what we are looking forward to. It's daunting, but it's going to be fantastic. And yeah, I guess there's one lady, I won't mention her name, but she even forgets her own kids' names, and she calls them Jack, Jill, George, Bull, whatever it might be. You might know her, Debs. Anyway, sometimes I might call you by the wrong name, but please be gracious. It's going to take us a while to settle in. Then there came those moments of doubting. As in our humanness, we do this. And the Lord is just so gracious and sending many scriptures just to comfort myself, my wife, my family. And that is what he does. He speaks to us through his living word. Again, another passage that came out bold and loud. And that was the day before I came to preach here on May the 10th. So on the Saturday was John 20, verse 21. So Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And for me, there was just so much encouragement through that the Lord is in control and that he is a part of this process. And I'm not doing things out of my own fleshly desires or comforts, but the Lord is the one who's leading and guiding. And then, yeah, just to say, not only the leading here, but when the Lord initially was drawing me into full-time ministry and even just going through to Bible college, one of the passages that the Lord gave to me was Psalm 32 and verse 8. "I'll instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." And just knowing that the Lord was leading and guiding, and I was going through that, so where do you, Lord, do you want me to go? Which Bible college do you want me to go? And it's like, it's fantastic getting this verse, but still, where? Which place? And it is that morning, actually, I got some post, and I was saying this morning, it's like, those were the days when you still got post. So I got some post, and it was from the Bible Institute at Cog Bay. And part of their logo and part of their motto was this very verse, Psalm 32, verse 8. Hey? "I'll instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go." And just great peace about where the Lord wanted me to go. And he provided, amazingly. And then May the 10th, when I preached here with you that Sunday morning, my quiet time and the verse that came up was this same verse again. Psalm 32 at verse 8. I'll get all emotional again. Anyway, but this is who our Lord and who our God is. He is just so intertwined in our lives. He is always leading, always guiding. And we can put our trust and faith in him. And so that was just from my side, the way in which the Lord is personally leading me and guiding me just in my own personal family. And I thank you, the Lord, for the solid rock of my wife that he has given to me. The Lord Jesus, yes, he is my solid rock, but he's given me an amazing wife. And also just all the conversations that I've had with Roman, with Mark. We know that this is where the Lord has called us to be. And we are truly grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt. That was wonderful, man. That's just lovely to affirm and have confirmation of God's leading in our lives through His Word to where He wants us to be. I said to Kurt in the in the first service, I still, after almost 7 years, struggle with everybody's name, but I know that you are a gracious and compassionate congregation, and you put up with me when I call you Irene instead of Sharon and different names, so I know that they'll do the same for you. As much as we as a church have sought to seek the will of God for another pastor here, and as much as we have heard and believed Kurt and what he has shared with us, that he is acting in obedience to our God, we would like you, Kurt, to respond to a few questions, just so that you and us as a congregation might have that certainty and affirmation that this induction service is of the Lord. And so, Kurt, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess afresh today that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Kurt, do you believe in your heart that you are truly called of God to join the pastoral oversight here at Howick Community Church?
I do.
And Kurt, finally, do you promise to execute your charge with all fidelity and integrity, to preach and teach the Word of God from the Holy Scriptures, to lead the congregation in worship, to administer the ordinances, to care for the flock of Christ, and to evangelize the lost?
With the Lord's help, I will.
Amen. Amen. Now I need to ask you, the congregation here at Howick Community Church, do you acknowledge this morning and receive Kurt Marden as pastor of this church, promising him all due honor and support in the Lord as he pastors us and shepherds us in Christ? If you respond with a positive, won't you signify this by standing with us as we pray? Kurt Marden, as you have been called by the Holy Spirit to the ministry, and as the Holy Spirit has spoken to this church and said to us, set him apart for the ministry to which I have called him. I declare you now to be one of the duly inducted and appointed pastors of this congregation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Thank you. May be seated. If you have your Bible with you, please, I invite you to turn with me to the letter of Titus that the Apostle Paul wrote. This morning, I'd like to share from the whole book of Titus with you, just in summary. It is a letter that Paul wrote to Titus, his common child in the faith, his disciple, his mentee. He writes to Titus after he has left him on the island of Crete to pastor the churches there, just before Paul's second imprisonment and final imprisonment before his death. Paul had visited this island and then had left Titus there to pastor the churches on this island. And after returning, Paul writes this letter to remind Titus of God's instructions to him on how he ought to pastor God's churches. There are three chapters in Titus, and each chapter, I believe, has an instruction from the great shepherd of the sheep, Christ our Lord, to every pastor on their responsibilities that God has given to them as he has called them into pastoral ministry. And so this morning I'd like to remind and challenge Kurt again and afresh of these responsibilities that God has given to us as pastors. Now you might think, well, if that's the content of the sermon this morning, And you not a pastor, it's a good time just to clock out for a few minutes while the pastor rambles on. Don't do that, please. There is important application for us as we learn together of what God has placed on the shoulders of pastors. Pastors that have been called by God to shepherd us, and pastors in which you have recognized God's leading and called them to have authority over you and to pastor you and to lead you in the ways that lead to everlasting life. And so don't clock out. In fact, tune in, because there's great application for you as a congregation this morning. The first instruction that we find here from the Apostle Paul to Pastor Titus, in no specific order of importance, because all of them are important in pastoral ministry, is found in chapter 1 of Titus. Chapter 1, Paul says to Titus, disciple godly leadership. Disciple godly leadership. We read in verse 5, this is why I left you in Crete, Titus, so that you might appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Now, I don't think Paul over here is instructing Titus just to go about to the various churches and randomly pick men in whom he thinks would be good enough to be elders in the church. No, I don't think he was asking Titus to do that, because he then in verses 6 and 9 gives qualifications for such men to be in leadership in the church, to be in eldership, pastoral leadership in the church. But in telling him to go and appoint these elders amongst these churches, according to the qualifications that we read in verse 6 and 9, Paul is actually telling Titus, go into these churches and disciple men for godly leadership. Go and help them grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, helping them to understand the truth of God so that they might live it out in their lives and be those examples, be those leaders in God's church that God might call them to be. Why would Paul want Timothy to go and do this immediately in his ministry amongst these churches that he finds himself on the island of Crete? Well, he gives us the answer to that in verse 10 and 11. He says, for there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. What we have here is a description of the spiritual leadership of the churches on the island of Crete. Men who did not submit to the authority of God over their lives. Men who held a legalistic view of salvation. Who did not understand the gospel that was given to us by Jesus Christ. That salvation is a work of God in our lives. Salvation is by faith in what Christ has done for us. It's not dependent on our good works and our acts of righteousness. But these men held a legalistic view that our own righteousness would bring us into a right relationship with God. These men also taught the church doctrine and theology that would result not in the eternal gain of God's kingdom, but rather in the temporary gain of their own earthly kingdoms. Such was the leadership amongst the churches on Crete. It was not concerned with the glory of God, but rather they were concerned with their own glory, the glory of man. Dear friends, how it must sadden our God, after giving so much of himself in order to save us undeserving sinners, to restore us to a right relationship with him, that we would have the hope of eternal life, living in the presence of God, blessed beyond our socks, to see the church of God today Instead of being that church who lives for the praise of His glorious grace, now lives for the praise of man. How it must sadden our God. And so this is why Paul commissioned Titus with this task of appointing elders through discipling them into God's men who could lead God's church into the very grace and praise of that grace towards God. Kurt, I praise God that we're not like the churches on Crete. We're not Cretans. We have godly elders here. We have godly leadership in our church. We are a church that love to make much of our God. Men and women who want to sacrifice their lives for the sake of God's name in our community. But we would love more elders. We would love more godly leaders amongst us. We would love more men and women to grow in the maturity of the faith, so that wherever God places them, they might be a leader for Him, leading people into the truth and to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are under no illusion this morning as a church that the closer we get to the return of Christ, the evil one will use any means to conform God's church to the ways of the world. To be self-centered, to be selfish about our own life here on earth and not live by giving ourselves to the glory of God's grace in our lives. We are very much aware that Satan loves to attack church leadership so that the leadership of those churches might steer people away from God instead of to God. We see this rife today in the world amongst God's churches, as many have been led astray and lead God's people astray as well. God calls us pastors to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry by discipling them, discipling strong leadership, especially amongst our men, so that God's church will always have godly leadership that will cause the church and lead the church to remain faithful to God's grace in their lives. Here's the application for us as a church today. If this is one of God's calling on pastors, this is what we have called Pastor Kurt to do for us, to disciple us in godliness, helping us to be mature in the faith, to know God and what He desires for our lives, then, dear friends, let us give ourselves to God's man, God's pastor, God's shepherd for us, to do just this in our lives, to equip us in every way to be godly and to lead others in godliness. That's the first instruction that Paul gives to Titus. The second instruction is found in chapter 2, where he says to Pastor Titus, I want you to declare godly doctrine. I want you to declare, preach, and teach godly doctrine. Chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, Titus, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Like our day and age today, Paul and Titus also experienced this in God's churches, where unsound, unhealthy doctrine was being peddled in these churches. And people were being turned away from what God desired for them as His children. Which is why Paul says in his list of qualifications of elders in chapter 1, that these elders, these godly leaders in God's church, must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also be able to rebuke those who contradict it. Now, what does Paul mean over here when he says to Titus, declare sound doctrine? What does he have in his mind in terms of this sound doctrine that he needs to teach and lead the church in? Well, verse 11 says, teach sound doctrine, Titus. We could respond by saying, why? For the grace of God has appeared. The sound doctrine is centered on the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to explain the grace of God and the significance and the importance of the grace of God in Jesus to the believer, to the one who needs to be shaped and transformed in that grace. He says the grace of God has come from God and has brought salvation for all people. The grace of God trains us to renounce as believers ungodliness and worldly passions. The grace of God trains us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age that promotes the opposite. It's the grace of God that helps us as believers wait patiently for the blessed hope, the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God given to us in Jesus that has delivered us, dear friends, from the clutches of the evil one, that we might no longer be slaves to sin and death, but we might have life and life in God for eternity. It's the grace of God in Jesus that purifies, that sanctifies us as a people for God's own possession. A people who belong to God, who are zealous for good works. It's the grace of God that we should know as a church and cherish and treasure in our lives because of all that God has done for us in His Son. You see, sound doctrine that centers on the grace of God towards us in Jesus is the truth that God desires us to embrace, because it's this truth, dear friends, that saves us, that gives us hope for eternal life, that rescues us from eternal condemnation. It's only this truth in the grace of God in Jesus that does this. There is no other gospel. There is no other truth for us. And so we must be rooted and founded in as Christians in the grace of God, which makes it imperative for the pastor, for the preacher, to declare sound doctrine to us if this is our only hope in life and death. Friends, when sound doctrine from the Word of God is taught, it sanctifies us no matter the stage of life or the season or the circumstance of life we're going through. Paul says it sanctifies the older men in chapter 2, verse 2. It sanctifies the older woman in verse 3, younger woman in verse 4, younger men in verse 6. The Word of God, sound doctrine, the grace of God sanctifies us no matter the season or the stage of life. He even goes further to say it sanctifies us when we are in the workplace, as he addresses slaves and their relationship with their masters. God, through the Holy Spirit, takes the grace of God as taught from the Scriptures and applies it to our lives no matter where we are or what stage of life we are facing. God desires that the grace of God transforms and changes our lives more into the likeness of Jesus. Authentic Christian living is growing in godliness, responding to this grace by allowing it to change and to make us more into the likeness, into the righteousness of our Savior. Kurt, we've heard this morning already that you committed to teaching sound doctrine. We know that. We're grateful for that because we wouldn't be having this induction service today if you weren't. But I want you to be encouraged from God's Word this morning again. I want you to be encouraged to remain committed to sound doctrine as revealed to us in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. For God knows that we as God's people need it, and we need to be taught it as much as we are able to. Here's the second application for us as a church in response to this responsibility of pastors. The Word of God, as we know, teaches us that God's grace has appeared to us in Jesus Christ, who is our only hope in life and death. And that's why we as a church are committed to the expositional preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the grace of God in our services here at HCC. And so if God's grace has appeared and God's grace is our only hope, then let me encourage you to pray for Pastor Kurt as he teaches us the sound doctrine of the grace of God. Pray for him that he might remain faithful to it, that he might give himself to preparation and to this teaching from God's word, so that you and I might benefit for the glory of God and for our eternal good. But not only pray for Kurt. If this is God's calling on pastors to teach us sound doctrine, then pray, dear friends, that God would give you an appetite for sound doctrine. Not everybody has an appetite for sound doctrine. We read in the scriptures that many just want to hear what itching ears want to hear. But God wants us to know sound doctrine, the truth about what leads to everlasting life. And so let me encourage you to pray and ask God to give you a hunger and a thirsting to know His truth, to know what leads us to everlasting life with Him. That's the second instruction that Paul gives to Titus. The third one and last one from chapter 3 is, Titus, you need to demand godly conduct of your congregations. Demand godly conduct. Have a look at verse 3. He says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist, I want you to demand on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. What is that trustworthy saying that Paul is referring to here that compels Titus to demand godly living of his congregations? Well, let me read it to you. It comes from verse 3, and I want to get it right to you this morning because this is the very testimony of every believer. This is why we ought to be living godly lives in this day and age. Paul says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But, big and beautiful word there, but, when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior appeared, He saved us. He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Dear friends, if you're a believer, a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this describes how our lives were once lived. We lived in ungodliness. We lived satisfying and gratifying the sinful desires of our hearts and of our flesh. But when the grace of God was made known to us and appeared, we were washed of that rebellious nature, of that sinful nature, by the regenerating power of the gospel. We were forgiven of our sins. We were given a new heart, a new spirit that longs to be obedient to God, that longs to live to please God in every way. We live now a life that makes much of God and not of ourselves. Not because we want to be saved, but because we are saved by the grace of God. Us who deserved eternal condemnation, but through God's grace have been given life with Him forevermore. We have been washed of the old way of living And by the God's Holy Spirit who dwells within us now, we have been given new life. Life that desires and longs to serve God and to obey Him. Now that doesn't mean we get it right all the time. We still stumble and fall into sin. But the overall characteristic of our life is a life that lives for God, to please Him in obedience and service. Therefore, dear friends, you cannot claim to be a Christian today. You cannot claim to be a part of God's redeemed church and still willfully and habitually continue in sin and disobedience to Him. Authentic believers, genuine born-again believers, have been made new inwardly and have hearts and lives that now desire to live loving, obeying, and serving God with all of their lives. Kurt is a called pastor, a shepherd of God's flock. Our responsibility as pastors is to remind God's people that this is the result of God's grace in your life. That you now live and conduct yourselves in a godly manner. That's why Paul says to Titus in verse 1 of chapter 3, remind them to be submissive to rulers and to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and show perfect courtesy towards all people. For this is our new life in Christ. People who now set their lives apart to live for God's pleasure. As pastors, we are commanded and given the responsibility to demand of God's church godly conduct. But having said that, we as pastors need to be reminded of this first and foremost of our own lives, that we are living to model this godly conduct before you all. But church, as we do so, and we do so not because we want to be judgmental, we're not trying to boast in ourselves and our own righteousness as pastors. As we preach and teach the Word of God that demands godly living, we do so because this is God's good for your life. This is what God desires. This is what God has done in your life and desires it to resemble, so that you might be assured of your faith and confident of the blessed hope that we have in Christ. And so won't you forgive us, pastors, if we sound sometimes harsh and unsympathetic when we demand godly living of you? That's not our intention. Our intention is for your good, your eternal good in your relationship with Christ. We know that God desires to sanctify us, to make us more like Christ through and through, so that we might be faithful to the end and see Him face to face one day. And so, Kurt, the Howie Community Church, God, through the Apostle Paul, lays out pastoral responsibilities of the men whom He has called into the pastorate. These men are called by God to disciple godly leadership, declared godly doctrine, and demand godly conduct of God's church. Friends, God will hold us pastors accountable to these responsibilities. You as a church, a godly church, ought to hold us accountable to what God has called pastors to do. And we as pastors hold ourselves accountable because we know that we're going to have to give an account of these things before God one day. And so pray for us as we pray for you. I'm going to ask Kurt and his family to join us on the stage here as we set them aside for this high calling of pastoral ministry and pray that God would bless them as they join us here at Howie Community Church. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward as well, and they will lead us in prayer. Let me introduce you to them if you do not know them. This is Pastor Mfundisi Kurt and his wife, Kath. I'm in the way here. I'm sure people can't see me. See you guys, Kath. And then it's Sophie, their youngest daughter. And then Bella, Isabella, their middle daughter. And then Grace, their older daughter. Thanks, Howard. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, shall we?
Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this special, special day. There's always so much to be thankful for, but today we are so blessed. And today, this morning, we just want to bring Kurt to you, Lord, and we want to ask you to have your hand upon him and his ministry and all that he'll be doing in this church in the coming years. We thank you for the way that you've brought him to us and the way that you've confirmed it. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen him physically, emotionally, that as he serves, that you will give him all he needs to serve you as you require. We pray that you would bless what he does, but what he does will be what you want, that he'll stay close to you, listening for your voice, following your word, that all he does will be in response to what you say and what you teach him. We pray that you bless him as a dad and as a father, as a husband, and that you enable him to balance his commitments to family and to his calling to you in this church. We pray that you'd use him greatly and that we would be encouraged and grown and drawn to you through his ministry. We also pray, Father, that you'd protect him from being discouraged, disrupted. Lord, ministry is not easy. It can be tough. And we pray that you would guide him, hold him so close to yourself. We pray that you would protect him physically and that you would have your hedge around him, that nothing would deter him and stop him from doing what you have called him to do. We pray your blessing on his life, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you again so much for bringing Kurt to minister amongst us here at Howard Community Church. Father, we thank you for his love for you and his desire to preach your word and to minister among us here. Father, we thank you for your word. We've been reminded again this morning of the importance and value of your word. We've been reminded this morning of sound doctrine and the need for sound doctrine to be preached and sound doctrine to be lived by. And so, Lord, I just pray for Kurt that he ministers, as he ministers here, that you'd give him the courage and the boldness to speak your word truthfully, to speak sound doctrine. As tough as it might be sometimes, very often when people get up to preach, they are pressurized to say what is pleasing to man. But Father, I just pray for Kurt that you'd give him the strength to preach what the Holy Spirit instructs him to preach. And Father, I pray too that you'd give him a strong desire to preach the gospel so that those who don't know you will come to you. I pray that you'd give him wisdom and understanding of your word so that as he ministers to us as a congregation, we might grow in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray too, Lord, for his ministry amongst folk who are sick and those who need counseling, those who need someone to draw close to them. I just pray for those two, for him as he ministers to those who are struggling spiritually. In all those areas of ministry, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide him and strengthen him, give him wisdom and understanding. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for this family again. I pray that you bless them as they minister among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Kurt, Kath, Grace, Bella, Sophie, we seek to pray for you as a family as well. Our gracious God and Father, we consider it an unspeakable privilege to have the freedom to come to you through our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to bring to you this day this much-loved family. Thank you for the blessing that they have been as they have sought to serve and glorify you. We thank you for having preserved them for service of you here in this family of believers. Thank you for the mercies that they have already known through the challenges they have already faced in life and will endure. Be merciful to them, we pray, and guide them such that their days might be fully used in worship of you. We commit this family to you and pray for their spiritual security, their physical well-being, and an ever-growing relationship with you. Yeah. May they individually and as a family retain the desire to dwell and abide under the shadow of you, the Almighty, and may their souls be so at rest in peace and deep assurance. We pray for a hedge of divine protection about them, their home, and may you shield them from the evil that challenges us all. Mm. Father, through this all, be their light and their shield. Mm. May they know the daily refreshing of body and soul that comes from your love of them and their service of you. In the times of the noise of this life, may they radiate your love. In times of quiet, may they remember you and meditate on you into continual communion with you. And may they live lives reflective of their ongoing and perpetual trust in you. Father, we beg of you that you would grant an answer of peace to our prayers. And we pray these things for the sake of he who died for us, rose again, and taught us to pray together. As we've already sung, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Blessings.